right. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn with us to John chapter 19. Gospel of John chapter 19 tonight, and we'll be there momentarily. Of course, we are in what is traditionally referred to as the Passion Week. And, you know, it's always difficult for a pastor to take a portion of Scripture that has been preached, an account that has been preached numerous times, and find new ways to present it. And so this year I didn't even really bother to try and find a new spin on it. I just read through the account of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and just some things that personally stood out to me that encouraged me, that I think would be an encouragement to you here tonight as well. You're there, John chapter number 19, and we'll begin reading there at verse number 16. Gospel of John chapter number 19, beginning at verse number 16, down through verse number 18. The Bible says this: "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst." For a few moments tonight, I'd like to bring to you this thought, just simply the three crosses, the three crosses. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this night that we get to come and gather in your house in the middle of the week to sing your praises, to gather with our church family and bring prayer needs before you, knowing, Lord, that you hear them, but more than that, knowing that you will answer them in your perfect will and your perfect timing. And now, Lord, as we open your word to study it, we pray you'd give us a truth that might help us to be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And Lord, may the Bible study tonight be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And Lord, help us never get over what it took to purchase our salvation. And Lord, help us to come ready Sunday to rejoice in the fact that you are not still in the tomb, that you do indeed live. And the Lord, for all that you'll do tonight, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you now and we need you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You notice that phrase there in verse number 18, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. You know, I want you to picture, if you could, that you are standing at the foot of a hill on a dark Wednesday afternoon nearly 2,000 years ago. And the sky is dark, and midday doesn't necessarily feel like the middle of the day. It feels more like midnight. And there's a heavy hush that falls over those present, that falls over the crowd. And just outside the city walls of Jerusalem, on a hill called Golgotha, you have three rugged crosses that stand tall, silhouetted against the storm clouds that are rolling in. And on each cross hangs a dying man. One of them, we know, of course, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Savior who came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, to be our Savior. He's there hanging in the middle. But oftentimes we don't stop to think necessarily about the other two. We know that they're there. We reference them from time to time, but we don't really take the time to focus on them, mainly because there's not much in Scripture about them. But what we have to realize is that this is not just a moment in history. This is not just Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Rather, what we have here is a picture of eternity. Because these three crosses, Jesus in the middle and the two thieves on either side of him, what they represent are three very different hearts. Three very eternal destinies. Three different responses to the same Savior. And so the question we have to ask ourselves today is not just, well, what happened to Jesus? Well, we know what happens to Jesus. He dies on the cross. He's taken down. He's put into a tomb. And 3 days later, he rises again as he said he would. He ascends up to the right hand of God the Father, where he sits today, lives evermore to make intercession for us. One day, he's coming again for us. We know what has happened to Jesus. But what and who were the men beside him, and what do their choices mean for us? And so we see tonight that there's three crosses, there's three men, and only one Savior. And we're going to see tonight that one man rejected Jesus. One man repented to Jesus, and one man, Jesus himself, redeemed the world by his death on Calvary. And you and I today, we're represented by one of those two criminals. And you will either walk away from this message, and those who come to church on Easter Sunday, those who come to church as visitors and don't know Christ, they will either leave from a church on the cross of rejection, or they will leave on the cross of repentance because they accepted the cross of redemption. But they need to make that decision in the shadow of the cross of redemption. And so this evening, there's three crosses that I want us to see. Number one, and it's the cross of rejection. It's the cross of rejection. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 39, the Bible says this, "And one of the malefactors, that being one of the thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." And so here we have this man, and this man was a criminal. He lived a life of sin, and now in death, we find that he dies just as he lived, rejecting God's grace. And even in the face of death, even in the face of eternity, with his last breath, he mocks the only one who could save him. I mean, you think about the pride that took. So there you are, you're hanging, and you know you're dying. And here you have this man who you know has claimed to be the Christ who can save, and yet you reject him. And this thief mocked Jesus to his face. And even as death approached, his heart remained hard. He had one last chance to receive mercy. And yet he spit in the face of grace. You know, it's like a man that's lost at sea. And he's there, he's lost at sea, and finally the rescue helicopter comes and hovers above, and a rope descends, and the voice of the rescuer shouts, "Hey, grab hold of the rope, and we'll save you, and we'll rescue you, and you'll live." But the man, stubborn, self-assured, shouts back, "No thanks, I can swim." And then moments later, he drowns. This man on the cross rejected his final lifeline. And because he rejected his final lifeline, he stepped into an eternity without Christ. He stepped into an eternity without the Savior. And unfortunately, there are going to be people that they make that same mistake. Because I want you to realize something tonight. This man, he was as near to Jesus as you could get. But folks, being near Jesus is not the same as being saved by Jesus. And there are a lot of people today, they're religious, but they're lost. Yeah, they might go to a church somewhere. They might do good deeds. They might, you know, they might have done all the religiosity that the world says that you need to do to be a good person. And they were near to Jesus, but they weren't saved by Jesus. The Bible warns us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And yet this thief here on the cross, he had no remorse. He had no humility. He had no repentance. And because of that, he had no hope. This man died without Christ, and his soul plunged into eternity unprepared. His cross tonight is a tragic reminder. Again, you can be near Jesus and still reject him. I mean, you think, how close must they have been on that cross? So close. I think of what King Agrippa said in the book of Acts. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, but lost. And that's what this man on the cross was. Almost, but lost. No hope into eternity without Jesus. But then secondly tonight, we not only see the cross of rejection, but secondly, we see the cross of repentance. We see the cross of repentance. In Luke chapter 23, verses 40 through 43, the Bible says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto us, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Here we find that the second thief, he had the same past. He was just as guilty as the first thief. Oh, but he had a totally different future, didn't he? You say, well, what made the difference? Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw who he was in light of the Savior, a sinner in need of salvation. He saw who Jesus was, the Savior who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he reached out with a humble heart. This second man, he was just as guilty, but he was not just as blind. He saw his sin. He knew that he deserved death. But in that moment, he also saw the Savior, and he cried out in faith. And you notice, he didn't ask to be taken off the cross. He didn't ask for his life to be spared. No, instead, he asked for something more. He asked for something far greater, to be remembered in Christ's kingdom. He saw that Jesus was more than just a man. He saw that he was the king of a kingdom that outlasts time. That when everybody has come and gone, that his kingdom will remain. Luke 13:5, the Bible tells us, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's like the man who he stands before the judge, or he's there on death row, and you know, he's guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt. and the judge is ready to sentence him to jail, or the executioner is ready to prepare the execution. And all of a sudden, you know, you watch the movies, and somebody that's on death row, they're looking intently at the phone to wait for that call from the governor to spare their life, to pardon their life. And well, the pardon arrives, and all he has to do is receive it. That was the thief's moment. And he accepted it. He said, "Lord, remember me." And listen, that's just not a request. It's a confession of faith. Because he said, "Lord." He was acknowledging that Jesus was who he said he was. That he was Jesus, that he was God come in the flesh. And Jesus replied with one of the greatest promises in all the Bible. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus didn't give him a maybe. Jesus didn't give him a, well, if you clean up your life first. Jesus didn't give him a, well, if you turn over a new leaf. Jesus didn't give him a, well, if you say 100 Hail Marys. He didn't say, well, if you go to church 100 times, if you get baptized 100 times, if you do A, B, and C, if you do this or that, or he didn't say any of that thing, but he gave him assurance that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Repentance is what opens the door to eternal life. And if you're here tonight and you remember that time, you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you got an immediate answer that day you asked Jesus into your heart. That day, from that day forward, heaven became your home. No hope so, no maybe so, no think so, but a no so. Because of you putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see the cross of rejection tonight. We see the cross of redemption, or the cross of repentance. And then thirdly and finally tonight, we see just that, the cross of redemption. The cross of redemption. Revelation 5:9, the Bible tells us, "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." On that middle cross hung God in the flesh. And what we have to remember this evening is this: Jesus wasn't there on the cross for his crimes, because he had none. He wasn't guilty of anything. He was there for your crimes and for my crimes. He was a sinless, spotless Lamb of God come in the flesh. That word redeem, the definition just simply means to buy back. To buy back. When you see the word redeem in the Bible, that means Jesus bought us back from sin. We were slaves to sin, but Jesus paid the price. And not with money, not with gold, not with silver, not with gems, not with precious metal or anything else, but he paid for it with his own blood. Isaiah 53:5, the Bible tells us, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." Oh, but he didn't stay dead, did he? Nope. Because on that third day, he rose in victory. You see, tonight, his death wasn't defeat. It was redemption. And you see, tonight, Jesus was not a victim. You know, we look at the cross and we think, oh, poor Jesus. Poor Jesus, nothing. He was a volunteer. He volunteered to go to the cross. He said, in fact, take your Bibles there. And I don't have it written down, but go over to the Gospel of Luke, I believe. I am looking it up. I did not have that one written down. It just came to me. Actually, I don't have it written down, but okay. But in the gospel account, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will be done, but yours be done." And so he, in that moment, he wanted this cup to pass from him. But he still went to the cross. He volunteered. Listen, the Bible tells us he could have called, there's a song that we sing, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he chose the cross. He died alone for you and for me. Why? Because you and I, we were enslaved by sin. And the only payment was blood. His blood. It's like a young boy, he builds a wooden toy boat. He paints it. He loves it. And one day, that boat, it floats down the stream and it's lost. Perhaps it's lost forever. Who knows? But then months later, he sees it in a store window. And he goes in and he buys it back. And someone says to him and asks him, he says, but that's your boat. You made it. The boy replies, "Yes, but now it's mine twice. I made it and I bought it." Folks, tonight, Jesus not only made you, Jesus not only made me, but he then bought you and he bought me with his own blood. And so tonight we see three crosses. Three men, three eternal lessons. One man died in sin, rejecting Christ, and was lost forever. One man died to sin, repenting to Christ, and was saved forever. And then one man, Jesus, died for sin, redeeming the world and making salvation possible for both. On that dark day so many years ago, there were three crosses on that dark hill, but only one Savior. That place called Golgotha, as the Gospel of John calls it, is more than just a location on a map. It is the crossroads of every soul. And today, if you know him as your Savior, you are standing there in spirit. John 3:18, the Bible tells us, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." And that same Jesus who hung between two thieves, he's still reaching out today with nail-scarred hands. One thief rejected him and chose judgment. One thief repented and received eternal life. The difference was a decision. And that same decision you once had. Joshua 24:15, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." You found out very quickly you could not remain neutral. A choice must be made. This world will find out very quickly that they cannot remain neutral. They must choose. They must make a decision. Some, unfortunately, will leave Moments like this, church services like this, they'll leave on the cross of rejection. Others, and praise the Lord for it, they will kneel at the cross of redemption and rise with the hope of repentance and eternal life. But the choice is theirs. The Savior is waiting. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.